Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Tutera Senior Living Chief Operating Officer Randy Bloom. The Kansas City, Missouri-based senior living company operates 86 communities in 10 states. Tutera has grown rapidly in the last 2 years, expanding its management portfolio by 35 communities. In the future, the senior living provider will continue to grow through management acquisitions, primarily across the Midwest.
Absolutely is an art to this, and it is something that requires a good feel for the needs of the seniors and to be able to provide that lifestyle for them in a way that they choose.
Now, here's my interview with Tutera COO, Randy Bloom. Randy, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Would you be able to familiarize some of our listeners who may not be familiar with Tutera, just about the company's portfolio? We'd love to know kind of the footprint of where Tutera is at, and also congratulations on celebrating 40 years.
Thank you very much. Tutera is a company, it's a family-owned company by, of course, the Tutera family, has been around, as you mentioned, 40 years. We currently operate about 86 communities in 10 states. We operate communities of various payer types and product lines, from skilled nursing to independent living, memory care, assisted living, and as well as a number of other ancillary businesses.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And how would you describe where Tutera is at currently after 40 years of serving older adults? That's quite a legacy.
I appreciate that. We have been, I think, we are in a very good spot with respect to knowing who we are as an organization, knowing what we value and what we believe to be successful operations. We have spent years in a variety of different third-party management situations where we understand what to do and, more frankly, what not to do as it relates to senior living operations. We are a value-based company, and we hold very, very closely to those values, and we have a philosophy that we speak to on a regular basis that drives our decision-making. So I think that where we are as an organization really is we've matured in the sense of we know what our values are, but also what we're capable of doing and those areas that we know that are not good fits for us.
Right. I'm sure there have been a lot of lessons learned over the last 4 decades, that's for sure. And you touched on something that I want to get to in my next point. Would you be able to explain the Unite philosophy and give us some color on how this improves workplace culture and care delivery? Because I know some of these things operators are really chasing after, but it takes years to really build that.
Right. Well, Unite really was born out of the belief that there is no one size that fits all as it relates to culture and the way organizations operate facilities. Every building in each part of the country that we may operate in has unique personality and things that are driving forces. So what Unite really became was this framework that we would use to set a tone or a philosophy in each organization and then really provide a lot of independence and autonomy on the part of each organization, each facility, to act within the context of that framework. What I mean by that is that the basic premise of Unite is that we as an organization, a corporate office, can't possibly know what are the most valuable components of care provided in each individual facility, in each part of the country where we operate. And so we identify 5 areas that we focus on in relation to Unite, the resident experience, primarily the most important area of that, where we really identify choice and how residents decide what care that is provided to them, the home-like environment, the community involvement that is outside of the facility itself, the dining experience, and then team appreciation. We believe that in these 5 areas, if we allow the communities to go in and with a basic premise, identify what are the needs of that community and specifically ask the community members, the family members, the team members, the residents, what are the things that are important to them? And then Unite allows each community individually to set those parameters going forward and then create that environment that is unique specifically to that community.
Very interesting. And I think that speaks to some of the ways we've seen operators really look to improve their culture by essentially exporting it from the corporate level to the community level and giving it almost a partnership between both, and to let communities sort of guide some of the unique areas that really define their communities. And we know that from each community is different, so there can be a lot of different nuance to, especially at the community level. So very interesting to hear how that has played out. I appreciate the information there. That's really helpful in just understanding that Unite philosophy. And I know, too, that in the last couple of years, Tuterra has been pretty busy on the acquisitions front, if I'm correct. I want to just get an update on the company's recent growth. We've seen that there have been many acquisitions made by Tuterra in the last few years across Kansas, Iowa, and Nebraska. What really fueled those recent acquisitions?
Well, a lot of what we do, we own approximately 50% of the communities that we are involved in, and we manage the other 50%. And we believe that as a manager, we're in a unique position based on our many experiences in most of the states in the United States at one point or another, where we can bring value as a manager to those situations. So not all of these acquisitions are actually communities that were purchased by Tuterra, but many of them have been management contracts. Our management philosophy, as you might imagine, is based on our Unite philosophy, which is to identify the specific nature of each community that we enter and to really create a plan that is specific and unique to those communities. We've been managing skilled nursing and independent living and senior living communities for the balance of the 40 years. And those areas where we really feel like we can bring value is coming in and creating that culture, solidifying the staffing, identifying good leadership, and giving them the tools to complete their job, and providing excellent data for them to make decisions.
And overall, I'd love to follow up there. Is there a makeup or a percentage of the communities that you see as opportunities for future ownership, or are these mostly all management contracts? I want to make sure I understand kind of the breakdown of all of these acquisitions in the last couple of years.
Sure. Well, each of these communities and each of these situations are again, they're all unique in their own way. And one of the things that's very important for us is to identify who the client is, and then be very clear about the expectations of those clients. There are some that want a long-term management contract to essentially manage indefinitely. There are others that are looking for a quick turnaround. And so it's, again, extremely important for us to identify what the goal of the project might be and then act accordingly. There are times where we are a potential purchaser of a community we may manage, and then there are other times when we may not be. And those, again, are based on the unique circumstances. One of the things about Tuterra and its growth is that as a privately held company, we have the luxury of being able to choose very specifically what projects we want to be involved in and which we don't. Right. And so that is a unique position. And so I think what I've always been, what's always worked for us well, is that we don't have to grow for the sake of growth. And we identify opportunities we think are within our wheelhouse that we can be successful in. And those are the opportunities we get involved in as it relates to purchasing.
And just overall, I want to make sure I've got the correct figures right on all these acquisitions that have happened, whether it's through ownership or management. Is that number around 45? Is that what we're looking at over the last 2 years? It seems like there's been a lot of activity, so I just want to make sure we've got the total number.
I think it's closer to 35.
Got it.
Actually, over that time span. And then there's been buildings that we've purchased as well in that time span. So we have grown in total probably by about 45.
And I'd love to know, maybe, I know each community is different, but how would you describe these acquisitions generally? I like to ask this question, especially for operators that have sought scale in recent years, just in terms of overall how you might describe maybe average unit counts, things that really look most attractive for Tuterra's growth. Are there any similarities with these communities, or is it all relationship-based? I just want to kind of get your thoughts on if there's a way to maybe, if you think about it from a standardized way about all these acquisitions, is there a certain unit count you like? I know we've heard a lot about in recent years that some operators don't like to go below 80 units, and others where they really find tertiary and secondary market opportunities. So from Tuterra's perspective, can you just maybe describe the acquisitions? I know they're all different, but...
Right, they are. I mean, the acquisitions, as you might imagine, they do vary. There are some that are, you know, mid 40, you know, 50 unit acquisitions, others that are closer, you know, over 100. But it is significantly more challenging to make a margin in those communities that are 50 or below. Those you can, and there are certain situations where you have the right mix of clients and residents, and you know, you have, you know, real tight controls, and the labor market is such that you can do so. But it gives a very little margin for error. Generally speaking, you know, 65 to 85 units is absolutely preferable for us. But we also manage communities in excess of 200 units. So each presents their own sort of challenges. But I can say that those communities less than 50 are uniquely more challenging.
Right. Yeah, it's actually been interesting to learn that over the last couple of years, that there are so many different distinct challenges depending on the unit count for each community and what those operating challenges might look like. So interesting to learn the sweet spot. And that's why we like to ask that question as a follow up, just to understand and maybe characterize where that sweet spot is for Tuterra specifically in this case. So thanks for giving us that color there. That's great to know. And I'd love to also touch on just how you view future growth opportunities. Obviously, all of these have been very strategic in nature and have just made sense from both Tuterra's perspective and maybe the ownership group's perspective as you partner on a management deal. But in terms of how you view Tuterra's future growth and the opportunities that might be most attractive, is this more of the same acquisitions and additions to the management portfolio, maybe turnaround acquisitions for future ownership, maybe new development or even joint ventures? Would love to know maybe kind of what the most attractive growth vehicle looks like for Tuterra as it stands today in 2025.
Right. Well, I think most certainly we are looking at growth of our management company division. We do well when we have larger groups of facilities, communities that are in the same state, and we can centralize our resources in those particular areas. And I think those are ways we look at that. It's not to say that we won't go to states that we aren't currently in, but we do need to have critical mass for us to be effective as a manager. But our growth is primarily in the Midwest, and primarily having to do with senior living communities. Although we do a number of CCRCs, we own and or manage a number of CCRCs. That's also within our capability. But for Tuterra's growth, as I said, it is a deal by deal situation. And for us, if we never grew any larger than we are today, that's perfectly fine. We will keep operating the communities that we operate. We will keep trying to focus on quality resident outcomes and lifestyle. And we would do that. But there are lots of opportunities that come our way. We've been around for, as we said, 40 years, and people generally know who we are and what we're capable of doing. So we get a fair amount of calls. We do have the luxury of being able to identify whether or not that's a particular area of growth we wanted to get involved in. So from a strategy standpoint, I wouldn't say we have a very specific strategy, because quite frankly, we don't have to. Our strategy is evaluate the deal on a deal by deal basis and get involved in things that we know that we can be successful in.
Right. And I was really looking forward to this interview because just frankly, given Tutera's growth in the last couple of years, I was really looking forward to this because we really like to learn kind of the inside of what really makes some of these acquisitions and additions to a management portfolio work for a given operator. So really appreciate the color there. And in terms of what you, standing here in 2025, almost at the midpoint, if we can believe it, would love to touch on any new growth opportunities that you see ahead for Tutera, just as it stands in 2025. I know you kind of outlined from a high level what that strategy looks like, and it's different by opportunity, but as it stands where we are in 2025, are there any things you can mention, or are there still some things kind of under the surface still working themselves out? Would love to know if there's any new growth you can highlight today.
You know, nothing specifically, but we are again, we're always talking about opportunities. They come sometimes with very short notice. We got involved with a community where we had 3 days notice just 2 weeks ago. And we are now operating that community. We found it on Thursday and we were in on Monday. So these things at times go very quickly. There are some other opportunities that we're looking at that have a much longer time frame for evaluation and determination. So, but there's nothing specific I can let you know we're going to grow, just to say that we are evaluating a number of opportunities.
That's great to hear. And it adds to all the, I think, positive momentum I've been reporting on this year and hearing from folks in the operations space is that there are great opportunities out there if you really have your operations model figured out and you really understand what areas within, whether it's a turnaround or a core plus addition. We know there's all sorts of opportunities out there right now. So exciting to hear that that also rings true for Tutera. So thanks for sharing that. And now I want to talk about the year from an operations perspective so far. How would you describe 2025 so far, just from an operations perspective? What's the year been like on the operating side?
Well, from an operational standpoint, we're having good success with our case mix index and really looking at our Medicaid opportunities. I think in most states, we're having good luck there. And we're seeing also good revenue growth in our premium mix, as far as that goes, having a lot of luck in that case. And our census is coming back. I think, you know, we've seen obviously the dip during COVID and the market returning, and we're really seeing that in virtually in all of our markets. Our staffing and cost of labor has always been a challenge, particularly before COVID, but during COVID, and even worse post-COVID, when a lot of people left the industry for various reasons. We're just starting to see that also improve. It's been a little slower than we would have wanted and we had anticipated when we still use a contract agency in some of our locations. And our biggest challenge, of course, is to try to completely eliminate that throughout the organization. Of course, we won't compromise resident care in that process, and we will continue to use agency to the extent that we need to. But we're really bolstering up our recruitment division and really giving them. We're looking at some different models of what we feel is the most appropriate, and really focusing on what that first 90 days of employment look like in our communities, and hoping that we can reduce the turnover as well.
And you're totally right. We've heard from many operators that those first 90 days and some are even focusing on the first 30 days for their employees of really the importance of that onboarding and kind of initial support and bringing new team members into the fold. Because I think it's one thing to have an established, well-run operations team and culture, but it's sometimes hard to bring new people into that, and you really have to extend a hand to bring people in. So exciting to hear that you're focused on that. And also, too, I will get to staffing here in a second, but I want to talk challenges in operations first. Are they still kind of about the same as what we've seen in 2024, things on the operations side related to staffing? But I think those things are never going to go away. But are there any new operations challenges this year, and how are you working to solve what you're really zeroing in on? I would love to know maybe what challenges you're looking to tackle this year.
Well, I think, I mean, certainly, as you mentioned, the staffing is by far the biggest challenge that we face. But one of the other areas that we're really focusing on is life enrichment and really beefing up that program within our communities. We've hired, a very competent and very experienced life enrichment coordinator who is going to be leading those initiatives relative to how we provide activities, how meals are served, how we interact with our residents and all of those things that are associated with life enrichment. We will focus on certain components of technology that will help us identify, consistent with our UNITE philosophy, what are the specific needs of residents on a resident by resident basis, understand what those needs are, and use technology to try to drive our ability to meet the needs of those residents. So that life enrichment part, I would say, outside of the staffing is our biggest focus and criteria for growth in terms of our senior living opportunity in 2025.
Thank you. And I also saw that Tutera had added over 270 employees in the Kansas City metro area in 2024. I think that's remarkable for any one market. Very exciting to see some success on hiring for once. I know I'm always reporting on the operating challenges that staffing can bring, but nice to see that you've had some success in a market like Kansas City. What's the journey been like on staffing? Seems like you probably put that as an intentional focus. If you're able to really hire that many people in one area, I bring that up just as maybe an outlier example. But just overall, what are conditions like on staffing?
Well, so staffing is, as I'm sure you've seen and reported on, is it's a huge challenge, and it is getting, I think, a little bit better. I think most people would agree with that than it has been. But what we looked at is what we call the accountability continuum. And what I mean by that is that on one side of the continuum, we have the community that is solely responsible for identifying potential candidates to work and taking them through the process, hiring them and onboarding them, et cetera. On the other, it's more of a centralized home office based solution. And we've sort of gone up and down this accountability continuum as it relates to staffing. And we're now moving more towards the centralized home office function. We have found that if we have individuals that will take a potential candidate for hire from the beginning of the process all the way through the end, that has a greater chance of success than having the community do part of that process and the home office do part of that process. And it's not as efficient that way. So we are really moving the accountability for hiring and onboarding to a more centralized home office. And we've had success doing that. And we're looking to expand that model into the majority of our all of our communities.
Just as a follow-up there, maybe I hope it doesn't put you on the spot, but I think touching on the importance of that nucleus of corporate support. Do you want to talk about that, where that came from, and kind of what it could look like as it expands to other communities?
Sure. I mean, we have technology that is able to track applicants like most people do. And what it looks like to me is that we can have a series of individuals that are centrally located that can take responsibility for individual potential staff members from beginning to end, and really start creating a dialogue with that individual so that there's a connection to the organization from the beginning. When that person feels passed off from one entity to another, from one technology platform to another, I think that there's an opportunity for that person to get lost in the shuffle. So my expectation would be that these individuals that would be centrally located at the home office would be that initial introduction to Tutera. That person would talk about our philosophy and how we do things. They would talk about our vision, our mission, our values. They would get that person engaged in what we believe to be the greatest thing about working at Tutera, which is our culture. And they would talk specifically about that while they were bringing that individual through the process. We think that that combination of that connection with an individual, along with the things that we have to offer, creates a good situation for us to hire people.
Right. And if you're able to do that, we know that hiring people is a bit easier now, but it's also about keeping them around and keeping that retention and getting people past the 90 days and then into 1 year and then into I've even heard operators tell me that they're looking to keep their employees for up to 2 years. And once they get people there, that really means that whether you've shown them career pathing or just better benefits, that there is opportunities for building a career and sticking around. So interesting to hear that you're also thinking about those things about long-term, about how to keep employees engaged and to really, especially from the start, really make them feel like they're supported. Now I want to shift in the last 5 minutes we have left. I want to talk about some of the things that you're seeing just on the ground and hearing from your community leaders about how you're positioning to meet future and current demand, because I'm starting to hear from operators that maybe on the independent living side, they're starting to see some baby boomers move into their communities, whether it's active adult or independent living. We're starting to see some trickle in, and we know that in the next 5 years, the demographics are really in the industry's favor, but it's not necessarily that you open your doors and people are going to come in. You have to really have a model that makes sense and really is attractive to the next generation of senior living customer. And we know they want more. They want more wellness opportunities. They want more lifestyle programming. They want things personalized for them. So I'd love to know how you're really positioning Tutera to meet some of this future demand. And if you want to also comment as well, how consumer preferences are really changing and just what you're doing to adapt to those and to meet some of the current demand while thinking about what's next.
Yeah. Well, one thing that never gets old or goes out of style is that customers want to be asked, and they want to have the opportunity to have choice in what they receive. And that is, as we've talked about, the basis of our Unite philosophy. We don't know, we can't know what it is that each individual customer may want or a group of customers, and so we ask. And so from that, we receive a ton of feedback, a lot of feedback about what kinds of things we're trying to do. And particularly in some of our Kansas City based communities where we have, they tend to be larger in nature, and a lot of our programs and offerings are developed here and then brought to various parts of the country. They become piloted here. So we're looking at, again, using technology as a way to help us identify residents that need additional assistance. And we partner with an organization, two or three organizations we partner with to help us in this. No one provider, I think, can provide all of the things that the customer is going to want. We are partnering currently with a medical director group out of Michigan called Fioria that's really helping us identify residents to have opportunities for requiring more assistance. And then we partner with our two therapy companies that provide rehabilitation in our communities. And anymore, we have rehab in virtually every community we operate, some component of that, because we know that that's just something that we've been told adds value. And so it requires the coordination of multiple disciplines and multiple companies to provide what the senior is going to want as we go forward.
And just overall, I'd love to shift this back to operations if we can. What are some of the things you're most focused on? It sounds like there's a big priority on staffing and building that support and also building culture at the community level. But are there any issues within the senior living sector that you feel like Tutera is really focusing on as of late, whether that's improving operations, looking to meet new demand, looking to solve problems on staffing? I'd love to get your sense of maybe what you think you're most focused on.
Well, I think it's the life enrichment, as I mentioned, but also I think part of that is the dining experience too. And I think from that perspective, consistency of dining is a focus of ours. So we have, as you might imagine, we have a wide variety of dining and variety of dining needs. And we are very focused on ensuring that we're providing a dining experience that is consistent with the needs of a particular community. And so we don't have a one-size-fits-all dining program, but we also need to have a consistency with respect to day in and day out production of of meals that are loved by our residents. And so that's really an area that we're continuing to focus on as well.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting to understand how each operator really approaches dining differently. And I think there's been a sea change of ideas shifting towards more restaurant style dining and more emphasis on chef prepared meals. So it's exciting to see some really gourmet things happening in dining rooms across the country at so many different communities. So exciting to hear that Tuterra is also thinking about dining as well. And now, Randy,
I want to point out though that I too see the, you know, the chef prepared meals and the dining going that way. But there are communities that we operate, senior living communities, that say, no, we don't want that. We want straightforward, good, hot meals. I don't need a chef prepared meal. I don't need a restaurant style dining. And I think that's the beauty of what we see with Unite. We have this belief that everyone, of course, they'd want this chef, you know, prepared meal. Maybe they would want this restaurant experience. But when you really ask, you don't always get that answer. And so we are not looking to provide a level of chef-inspired restaurant-style dining in all of our communities. We're looking to provide a consistent level of dining in the mode and manner in which that community wants to receive it.
You know, that's really interesting and even a refreshing take, I might add. So, Randy, thank you for sharing that. That's very, very insightful. And I think as anything, quality is key. So spot on there, especially with that. And last question here, I want to get your thoughts on your outlook for as you step back and what you see across the industry. Would love to just get your sense of where things are headed. I've been hearing a lot of positive momentum, especially with operators that have really weathered the storm over the last 5 years, especially for coming out of the pandemic. But to hear now, I'd love to get your take on where you see things headed for the industry. Seems like there's a lot of opportunity out there, but I'd love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we've brought on a number of communities in the last year. And as a part of that, we've had to understand how our processes and our systems are scalable. And so I really think that for organizations that have any desire to grow, like we might for the right circumstances, we have to redefine our systems and processes to ensure that they are scalable. So we're in that process and we're continuing to go through that, because I do see that there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for those providers that are capable of reacting quickly, are flexible, that can get involved in certain situations and cause change to happen, that know what the drivers of change are. And so I believe that to be us. And so our focus will be in 2025 and beyond to create these systems and processes for us so that we can be scalable and put ourselves in situations where we can be successful. The industry itself, as you mentioned, I mean, the demographics are in our favor. And I think that there will be a lot of people that will look at that. That's been widely publicized. And think it's easy, you know, we can get in here, we can just build these things and, you know, people will come. But they haven't been around for 40 years to do the trial and error and make the decisions that are right, that are wrong, or be involved in a lot of management opportunities where wrong decisions were made and learn from those things, because there absolutely is an art to this. And it is something that requires a good feel for the needs of the seniors and to be able to provide that lifestyle for them in a way that they choose.
Most definitely. And that's a great note to end it on. Randy, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform.
My pleasure.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.